who then translated that to Spanish. So this is definitely a welcome change. But before I do anything, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Grady. It's not just any time that a pastor will allow their 16-year-old kid to lead their service. So I just want to say thank you. But I want to start by telling you a story. So I've never been to the Jordan River, but I have been to the Amazon River. And I can imagine that they're probably pretty similar. But like I said, I can't speak about the Jordan River, but I can speak about the Amazon. So the Amazon is not the longest river in the world. That would be the Nile. But it is the biggest in terms of volume. So there's more water in the Amazon than there is in any other river in the world. And I think it goes without saying that the Amazon is massive. But one thing that really stuck out to me was the current of the river. The current was extremely strong. See, I was there in July, which is actually winter in the southern hemisphere. So it was the dead middle of winter, which is the dry season of the Amazon. So when we were there, the water was the lowest that it would ever be during the year. But it was still absolutely massive. It was unlike anything I'd ever seen. So there was these two boys that lived on the farm that we lived at, and they were about our age. They were a little bit older than I was, but I was the youngest on our trip. And so me and the other boy that was on my team would always mess with these two guys. They were just really funny to mess with. And we always made fun of each other, crack jokes and stuff like that. And so one time I said, I can swim across the river. And they were like, absolutely not, you will die. But see, I'm not the type of person that likes to be told I can't do something. So they said I was going to die, and I was like, absolutely not. So I set out, and I try to swim across the river. I get about 20 feet from the bank, and I'm about a half mile downstream. So I had to swim back and walk all the way back up the beach, down to the river. And I got back, and they were just laughing at me, pointing at me. It was terrible. But see, I could sit here and tell you stories all day about the Amazon, but that's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to talk about Joshua chapter 3. And so there's four parts of this story to me. And so I want to go through these four parts. So we've got part one, and that's the call to cross, the call for the Israelites to cross the river. We've got part two, and that's when they stand in the water. We've got part three, and that's God's miracle. And then we've got part four, and that's praise. So let's go through that. Part one, this is the call. If we look at Joshua chapter 3, verse 8, Joshua is explaining to the people that the Lord has called them to go to the river. And so at this point, Joshua has not said anything about crossing. He's not said, cross the river. He just says, go to it. And so he's told the people, go and stand in the water. And, you know, I can imagine at this point, some of the priests were kind of looking around, questioning Joshua. If somebody told me, just go stand in the middle of the Amazon River, I would be like, you are crazy. So this man, Joshua, had just told them that the most precious thing they had, the Ark of the Covenant, they needed to take it, bring it to the river, I'm going to just stand in it. And so I can imagine that they were probably saying, did God really tell Joshua to say this? Did he really hear from God? Are we sure this is what we're supposed to be doing? I'm sure they had a lot of questions. Maybe they even said, maybe we should wait until Joshua talks with God again so that we can be positive that he heard right. You know, give it some time, make sure that Joshua really heard from God. And see, when God calls us to do something in our lives, I think we usually have the same response. We question, was that really God? Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? Like, did God really tell me to go down to this river and just stand in it? I think a lot of times we have questions. But I can assure you that when God tells you to do something, he's not just going to change his mind. He's not going to tell you to do something and then an hour later say, wait, never mind, don't do that anymore. I promise you, God's not going to do that. So if we hear from God, we have to have faith like the Israelites to act. If God says, go down to the river and stand, we should go down to the river and stand. This brings me to my second point, and this is standing in the water. And if you look in verse 15, it says, now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. So this is the highest the water is going to be, the fastest, the highest, the strongest current. And so I'm sure they had a little bit of fear, right? Should we stand in the water? I'm sure that the Israelites asked, what if we get swept away? What if the river takes the Ark of the Covenant and just washes it downstream? I can imagine that the Jordan looked pretty similar to the Amazon during flood stage. And so I guarantee you they were wondering, I'm not sure if I want to put my feet in this. This could be dangerous. Sometimes we forget what the Lord's done for us, right? The Lord had parted the Red Sea just a few years earlier. So why couldn't he part this river? If the Lord had parted this entire sea and let the Israelites cross it, why couldn't he part this river? But the funny thing is, a lot of times we have short-term memory. We forget what God did for us yesterday when we're faced with a struggle today. And so I think it's at this stage of the story, part two, where the devil really comes at us the hardest. He tries to prevent us from putting our feet in the water so that we can't get to part three, and that's God's miracle. The devil tries to tell us that we can't cross, that our God's not big enough to part the water, or that we'll make it halfway in the river, but then we'll just get swept away. But see, I'm sick and tired of the devil telling me that I can't swim across this river when God's called me to walk. It doesn't make sense. And so here's the question that I ask myself a lot. Why do I spend so much time worrying about my ability to swim across the river if God's called me to walk? And so if we can point out these lies and these inconsistencies that the devil says to us, then we'll get to part three of the story. And see, part three, God's miracle, is the part that separates our faith, Christian faith, from any other faith in the world. You see, because our God is big enough to part the river. If we look in verses 15 and 16, it says, "Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away." So as soon as their feet touched the water, the current stopped. It wasn't like they stood in there for an hour and then it parted, or they had to walk halfway across the river and then it parted. No, as soon as their feet touched the water, the current stopped and the river parted. You see, and this is where the difference between our God and the other gods is, because our God has the power to part the water, and he doesn't wait for us to stand for an hour. As soon as our feet hit the water, he parts it. You see, because our God is not asleep, he's not dormant, he's not removed from our lives, he's intimately in love with us, and he's still parting the rivers of our lives today. See, because our God has real living power that was earned on the cross through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this brings us to the fourth part, part four. Usually, we reserve our praise till the end, right? We praise God after the river's already been parted. But Joshua did something kind of crazy in verse 5. In verse 5, before the water had even been parted, before they had crossed, Joshua says, he told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." He's looking to the future. He's saying, tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things, right? It hasn't happened yet, but we need to go ahead and praise God for these awesome and incredible things that he's going to do. See, he praises in advance because he has faith that God will perform the miracle that he said he would. And see, we're lucky because we have this entire book, the Bible, of examples of God performing the miracles that he says he will. This book is filled with God fulfilling promises. So we have so many examples of God proving his faithfulness. So I think we need to be a little bit more like Joshua and start praising God in advance for all the good and wonderful things that he will do in our lives. And so I can assure you that once you start praising God, you'll start to see the miracles he does each and every day. And you'll start to feel this joy and this peace that comes with understanding the work that God does in our lives. So I have one major takeaway that I really want you to get from this message and from this story, and that's where God calls the Israelites to step into the water. I think a lot of times in our lives when we want God to part the river, we don't want to be involved at all. We ask God to part this river, but we just want to sit back and watch. Like, God, hey, please part this water for me, but I'll just watch you do it. But see, God calls the Israelites to put their feet in the water. Sometimes God asks us to show him that we trust him. And you see, the crazy thing is, if the Israelites hadn't put their feet in the water, they'd still be on the banks of the Jordan today, and we probably wouldn't be in this room. See, my grandmother gave me something recently, and I brought it with me. It says, "Where God guides, he provides." And so I want to put this right here for the rest of the time. It's so true. I love it. I have it in my room. Because as soon as the Israelites stepped into the water, the river parted. See, God had guided them to go down to the river, and then he provided the miracle of parting the water. They didn't have to question or wonder, are we going to get swept away? Because they knew that this God would come through, because where God guides, he will provide. God just wanted to make sure the Israelites had faith. He asked, please show me that you have faith. And so when God calls us in our lives, we don't even need to take a leap of faith. Sometimes people say take a leap of faith, but really it's just a step off the bank and into the water. And sometimes that can be scary, and sometimes the devil can try to insert lies into our lives. It'll try to keep us from doing that. But I promise you that where God guides you, he will provide. And so if God is guiding you, maybe put your feet in the water, I promise you that he will part the river. I think this is so important as we're talking about a call to ministry, because sometimes it can be really scary. We can be standing on the banks of the water and we can wonder, if I choose to pursue this life of ministry, will God provide? Sometimes it can be scary. We can see the current. We can see all the struggles that we might have. We might say, I'm not sure if I can do this. The water seems a little too strong. The current seems like it might take me away. Or maybe I might get halfway in the river and then I'll just get blown all the way down into the ocean. But you see, that's all lies. Because I promise you, and if you don't believe me, you can look through this entire book of God's faithfulness, because where God guides, he will provide. And so that was the message that I wanted to share with you this morning. Thank you for all being here and listening to me. I'll pray and then we can get on with the service. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for us. I thank you that you've given us this example, the Bible, of all the times that you've been faithful, all the times that you've made promises, and then you've kept them, Lord. You're so good and you are so faithful. I ask that you would just give us the faith to praise you before the miracles happen. God, we know that you'll perform the miracles, so I ask that you will give us the faith to praise you beforehand. God, I thank you that you've brought us all into this room. I thank you that you love us. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
As we sing our closing hymn, number 92, we're going to sing verses 1 and 2, and then the last verse. I want to give you an opportunity, and this was the plan to help you with this, but if you happen to be here today, and maybe you are at that water's edge in particular, and we all need miracles, but if you're on that edge and maybe you're considering, whatever age, and I'm glad there's a lot of young people here, if you're considering a call to ministry, the number one reason people don't do that is they don't have that opportunity. And so the message is very true. He's guided you here, and if you'll take a step, he will provide. So during the first two verses, if you happen to feel a call to ministry, take a step, because you're around a lot of people that are going to help you with this. So Kathleen, will you lead us in this as we stand and sing, and then if you feel so, come forward if you would.